Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, for listening to the show each and every week. We bring you some information, well, a lot of information about mortgages. I know it sounds like it's a boring topic, unless you need a mortgage. Now, if you're one of those people out there right now and you're thinking, how do I get a mortgage? How is this whole process work? Well, we're going to bring to the show today three different people from three different lenders, and they're going to describe to us programs. What is a program? You've heard of the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. That's kind of a program. You know, the 15-year, your FHA, jumbo products. There's all kinds of FHA, down payment assistance. All of these are programs by which these lenders are going to come on today and talk about it. We have one from REMN, Real Estate Mortgage Network, AM West, and, of course, Kind Lending. These three lenders have been around, and the people that are going to come on, Wendy and Kim and Dean, they're all experienced in helping people, really. One of the things that we talk also on this show about is the contributing factors to make you more attractive or less attractive to a lender. Let's face it, if you put yourself in the lender's position for 1 second. You're being asked to give somebody, let's say on average in Southern California, on average in Albuquerque, on average in Lake Tahoe or out in Las Vegas, the five places where we've got shows. Now, the average home price in all these areas varies. But let's say if you lumped them all together, stirred it up, and came out with an average, it'd be about $400,000, $400,000, $450,000. If you were going to lend out $450,000 to somebody, just not as a business, not just on a mortgage, what would you do to protect yourself? That's what all these lenders do. Now, the government years ago figured out that if that was the way we were to do this, it's not going to work out well for most borrowers. Why? Because they don't make enough. They're not agreeable to the terms of the deal. How can we loosen up the money to be able to get people mortgages? How can we do that? Well, thus was born Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And by to a lesser degree, later, obviously, was FHA products, right? So these entities came to be known as the GSEs. They are now huge behemoth, trillion-dollar companies that were bailed out in 08, but That's long since passed. But they're part of the process by which a lender, whether it's Wells Fargo or Chase or, you know, Bank of America, Citicorp, or whether it's United Wholesale or Quicken, i.e. Rocket TPL, all of these are well-known entities. And, of course, there are thousands of lesser-known entities, which may be known in your community, regional-type players. And they're all looking to do, really, the same thing. They want to lend you money, take that paper, and sell it off to Ginny, Fannie, or Freddie, FHA, conventional loans. That's what they want to do in order to be able to make money. They make a spread based on, you know, their costs. You tack on something, and then you sell it off. All of that is the lending business. How can you get into that advantaged position is really what the loan officer, the person who helps you with your loan, helps you decide. Helps you say, hey, look, maybe right now isn't the best time for you to borrow because your credit score is terrible. Let's get your credit score up. Or maybe right now isn't the best time for you to borrow because you don't have enough reserves and you're going to get hit if you go with FHA with a mortgage insurance premium that you might not be able to afford. The lending industry is going through some changes right now. The way they're doing debt-to-income ratios is changing and has changed as of March 31st. And the changeover from that particular number to a way by which a qualified mortgage gets purchased by Fannie and Freddie is changing. Now, this may sound like gobbledygook to all of you out there, but understand that by this time, 6 months from now, the way we used to do loans is going to be no more. And that ratio of your debt to income is going to be no more. They are new ways of doing business, and the qualified mortgage is expanding and at the same time doing away with some things that they had been doing for a long, long time. In 2008, the debt-to-income ratio was 43 over 36, 43 in the front end, 36 in the back end. Now, what does that mean? It means that the debt by which you can qualify can't be more than these particular numbers. One, overall debt. Second, pay the mortgage debt. That is going to change. It's going to broaden the ability of people to get a mortgage. However, it will lessen the ability of the private market to get back in and in control of at least, you know, a good percentage of the loans out there. The non-QM loans, those loans which don't fit into the box purchased by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Ginnie Mae, those particular loans, which are currently about 30% of the market, those particular loans have always been in the private sector. But with this expansion of what Freddie, Fannie, and Ginnie will buy, that box or that those particular loans in the non-QM sector may shrink. We don't know. So this is what the challenge is for your loan officers going forward, the lenders, the credit analyst people, those that are trying to make decisions on your behalf, go through. Now, of course, I wanted to get into a little more of the differences in different parts of the country and different underwriters and how they look at files. We like to see that most of this is done in an equal and fair manner. And there are, in real estate, of course, the Housing Equality Act and making sure that homeowners are treated equally and the same. But on this show, we've given many examples over the last year, especially, as to where that doesn't happen, whether it's, you know, building freeway exit ramps in poorer neighborhoods to a different standard, i.e. buses can't get there, so therefore it is underserved and that becomes a problem. If it's whereby realtors are redlining or steering customers to different neighborhoods, if it's where lenders value different credits scores and different credit analyst or analysis, depending on the type of borrower that you have. This happens all the time, and we fight against it. Fight against it. And it is illegal, but it happens. So your particular situation, even though we have a broader basis by which we're lending and will going forward with Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, due to the new QM guidelines, the doing away of the DTI ratios, we still have the situation in America whereby lending is often done not on an equal basis. And in those situations, the people getting taken advantage of are usually poorer, not as secure, and people of color. And that's terrible. And what do we do about it, and how do we fix it? Well, we look at situations around the country. We had a case, the Shelvin case. Yep, came back guilty, all three charges, last week. And that particular situation is a microcosm of what we deal with in America on all aspects, not only lending, although lending is at the core of what we have as housing in America. I've always advocated housing for everyone would be a good thing for the entire country, just simply because you would have more people invested in their house, and the outcome of living in a house that they own is quite a bit different than living in a rental property, living in something you don't own. I want to get into this more, but I wanted to get to the meat, the heart of what lending is here, so that you can understand that we fight for equality for all people to get a loan, not just the people who meet certain credit guidelines, but all people. Because if you got a job and you're making money, you should be able to get a loan and you should be able to afford a house. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show each and every week. We bring to you information that you're going to need. If we need a mortgage right now, you need to know what's available in the marketplace. So we're the people that are going to try to bring that to you. And we do each and every week. We're also on about 10 different podcasts. Do you have that podcast list there, Darryl?
I sure do. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, of course, and Podclips.io.
We're new to Podclips.io. Go there. They got a lot of great information as well as lifestyle type things. Also, Apple has really changed the way they're doing their own podcast and how you get to it. But if you go to any of these podcasts, if you go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, that's our YouTube channel, just click on you like it. Join up. I mean, we the more people we reach, the more people get the information. It's just kind of how it works in the internet world, right? So we appreciate it, and thank you very much for doing that. Okay, so we are bringing to us, once again, Dean Garrett has been on the show several times from REMN, Real Estate Mortgage Network. They're a lender, and we're going to talk a little bit about programs and what's available right now in the marketplace. Dean, how are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Another day in paradise, buddy. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yes, I do agree. There's a lot going on all the time, and we're ending COVID. Has it changed much about what you're doing in terms of business-wise? The lending business has been so busy this last year. How do you see it?
You know, I had probably been the busiest I ever was, and then we took a little dip when rates went up.
Yep.
And they seem to be coming down a little bit now, and it's getting very busy again. You know, you just in this business, if you've been in it long enough, you know, you just got to ride it out. You know, you're going to have your great times, your slow times, but you're always going to have something going on. So, you know, I love this business. I've been in it a long time, and don't see me ever leave it.
Yeah, thank you. I've been in it a long time. I agree with you. I mean, when the times are good, as Warren Buffett always says, when it's raining gold, put out a bucket. So anyway, let's talk programs. I know you have some innovative new stuff, plus some old favorites. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there and what you're offering.
Sure. Well, you know, we have all your standards. We have your conventional. We have the FHA. But a couple of areas that I think is a little bit more unique, and one area that we really stand out, and we have our own department that can walk people through, because a lot of people are nervous when they hear renovation loans.
Right.
Okay. We decided that, you know, we want to be the top renovation lender in the nation. And here in California, it's not as popular, obviously, but the popularity is growing. You know, with the price of homes, and with better off just trying to fix up the home that you have.
Agree. Yep.
Well, we have, you know, we obviously have the 203K Limited, the 203K Standard. You know, the only real difference on that is if your loan is $35,000 or less, you're on the Limited. If it's above $35,000, you go to the Standard. But we also have another renovation program, the Home Style Program.
Right.
Which, that makes it a little bit easier. That you can do more of your luxury items under that. We're on the 203K. Home Style is basically it's Fannie's renovation loan.
Right.
And they're a lot more liberal on the items that you can do. Like you can do a swimming pool, and you can do a lot of this. The FHA 203K is more, non-luxury items, I guess is the way that they put it. But we have an actual department that can hold your hand, will walk you through, can hook you up with contractors, can do everything that you need. And, you know, I just want to kind of give you this brief overview on it. If anybody had questions, obviously they can contact me. But one of the things that really scares people away is they feel they're not going to get paid on it until all the improvements are completed.
Right, good.
Which is not, that's not true.
Okay.
If it's a purchase, you get paid when the house is purchased. Okay. That part closes out. We pretty much take care of dealing with the contractor and dealing with the improvements, doing the phase funding, and doing everything that needs to be done. But you're pretty much done as an LO. Once the loan funds, you're done. Everybody gets paid, and we all move on to the next one.
Let me ask you a question on that. The release of the money to the contractor or the borrower, do you handle that through an escrow, or how does that work?
We have our own department that will cut the checks directly to the contractor.
I see. No, but, that's good.
On the FHA deal, there's like an FHA inspector that will go out. Hey, he'll sign off on this date and get back to us. And we'll release some more money to them to work on the next date to get it all done up.
Now,
so,
when...
I mean, that's a program that I don't think everybody's taking advantage of.
Right.
You know, our guidelines say the home sale is only for purchase, but we are doing refinances on exception. I even heard, and I can get into like more details if people have individual questions on it, but sometimes you can use this program to pay off solar panels. I've also heard that too. So there's a lot more options, a lot more available programs, not programs, but things you can do with it. So I just want everybody to start thinking about that a little bit, because it's a little bit out of the box, and it might be able to help you get those, you know, fixer-up purchases, or just somebody that wants to, you know, fix up their home. They've seen what prices are like.
What does the appraisal use? Does it use the finished product? I mean, do they go out there and say, okay, after improvements, the property will be worth this, or do they go on whatever it is before you do the fix-ups?
It is the after value. Jeff.
I see.
You are correct on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they will see what it is, as is. They will get all the improvements that are going to be done on the property, and they will give you the future value.
Okay, that's good, right? I mean, if you're yeah, strictly going on a debt to income, or you know, whatever the value of the house is worth, as to the extent, how much do you lend based on that number? Is it 75%, 65%? I know that you talked about under 35,000. Is there a limit on the upper side?
Yeah, usually it's hard to cap it at about 150 max.
For, okay,
you know, your improvements that you want to do on the property. But these home style loans, they go up to 97%.
Oh, that's strong.
So, yeah, there's a lot of flexibility on them.
Yep.
Yeah, and like you said, it's. I was a little nervous, you know, when I did one, and it went so smooth because we have, like I said, our own department that will take over and will walk you through. And I love that too because, you know, it closes, I get paid, it's out of my hands, everybody gets paid. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, I like the
fact. And then the other thing on it now is the one thing I do want to tell you, Jeff, that, you know, for some people they love it, other people they don't. Initially, of course, you're not going to have, you know, that great rate that you're looking for.
Right.
But 99% of these in 6 months are refinanced into just the new rate and term. And that's all it takes is 6 months to, you know, be able to refinance so you can get two loans out of it.
Well, interesting. When you do a construction loan, usually they roll that to a mortgage, 30-year mortgage. This is not like that, right? Whenever you borrow, the rate you're borrowing at is the rate after the construction is finished, right? That's what you're saying, and that's why people refi.
Correct, correct. Whatever you lock it in right from the start, that's your rate. And it's going to be, like I said, a little bit on the higher end because there's a lot of work
yep.
that the company is putting involved to keep up with this, but... As soon as it's done, you know, you can refinance and, you know, I just refinance with Lemon, of course.
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Malibu, I should say.
Well, it's okay. No, Lemon's fine. I mean, you know. Okay, so we have about a minute left. Yeah, give us your idea of. I like the fact that you're thinking about, you know, people who can't really afford to move out of that house and they want to renovate it. But where do you see the purchase market going this summer? Do you see more product coming on the market? What are your prognosticators
yeah.
see?
I have a feeling, and we get calls from, you know, secondary, and we have our conference calls, and they're really, really concerned with refinances.
Right.
They really think that that's going to dry up. So So there's going to have to be new creative purchase programs out there. So there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, that's the wave of the future. And I would say in the next 6 months, they're really concerned with refinances. I can tell you that.
Right, I agree. Hey, Dean, could you shout out your phone number for somebody who wants to talk to you about some of that renovation stuff?
Absolutely. Phone number is 949-357-6444, and email would be dean.garrett, two R's, two T's, at REMN.com. Pretty simple.
Dean, thank you very much. Once again, coming on the show, educating us and letting us know about what's happening in the market. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, Jeff. Always good talking to you.
Always good talking to you, too. That's Dean Garrett from REMN. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in each and every week to the show. And let's see, we are down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I love that town. They've been very responsive, and I really appreciate it. Certainly in Las Vegas, Nevada, we had a couple of guests on the last few weeks from Las Vegas talking about what's going on in that great city. Up in the Tahoe, Tahoe, and of course in Southern California, KCAA and
KMET.
Thank you very much. When you get old, you forget everything. So I'm just glad that I'm on the air and talking about mortgages, because knowing so much but not knowing enough, and that's the inquisitive part of the show that we try to get experts on who will tell us what's going on, especially in their particular companies. As I said before, Wendy Van Wessel has been on the show many times, but she comes to us again from Kind Lending and to tell us about the programs that they're good to go on now. Wendy, how are you?
I am just fine, thank you very much. And Jeff, KMET, come on, that was our rock and roll station back in the day.
It was. You see, I'm not from here. I don't know KMET.
It was my competition.
Good rock and roll. Oh, so Daryl used to be on radio back in the day, and he's saying that's his major competition.
Well, I was a KROQ, K-Rock.
Oh, K-Rock was a little more edgy.
Yeah, true.
Oh, man, we'll drift back. You see, WBZ in Boston, that's where these are the AM station that I can. And those days, AM radio, I don't know, maybe is this FM you were talking about, K-Rock?
Yeah.
FM.
Okay. Okay, well, when I grew up, and that's just back in the old days, they didn't have FM. FM was new. Anyway, Wendy, how are you, and how's lending going?
I'm just fine. Just fine, and I'm really happy to be at Kind Lending. I really do like, you want to talk about programs, but it's also the operations team that have been put together, that have years of experience, that jump in and help files when they need it and get the file to move through the system to be funded, which everybody wants. So that's important, too. But we have some good programs as well.
You know, you talk about that, and let's talk about that, because most of the time it is about the people behind the scenes who get the job done. Now, again, we've talked about automation and how they're trying to change a lot of the lending, and it's really about eliminating salaries in order to improve the margins. But you can't do that with every position, especially when you have a problem file or something that needs to be done fast, and that you're doing that over there is really appreciated. Believe me, my borrowers appreciate it, even though they don't know what's happening.
No file is the same. No two borrowers are exactly the same.
No, I agree, 100%. I brought you on today because I wanted to talk about programs. What's happening? What are you offering? What do you see the market doing? And how are we going to get our borrowers a loan today?
Well, for those people that want to do investments, the FHFA, Calabria, I believe his name is.
Mark Calabria.
That is ahead of it. Yeah, he knocked it down a little bit in that for second homes and investment properties, they will only accept 7% of the whole pool of loans that can be second home and investments. Because of that, there's an additional hit of 2 points, 200 basis points to each non-owner-occupied home or second home. it makes it like a 4 or 5 point hit when it's an investment property. So those have become a little bit more difficult, and it's because they have more risk involved with them. And Calabria said that he wanted to get Fannie and Freddie to be able to pay for themselves, and that was just one of his PSPAs that he wants to implement. He has many more coming on down the pipeline. I don't know what it's going to do to our business.
Well, he is a guy, when he was installed, who wanted to have the GSEs on their own. So since the middle of the Trump era, the Trump years, through now, we've seen this push to get these out of conservatorship and back into the private sector. And part of that is to make sure that the private sector has a market that they can go after, and that these two entities don't have a corner on every loan down the pipe like first come first choice for them. I don't know if it's a good thing currently, but having the private sector more in the business is, to me, a better thing than just having, you know, the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginny Mae have a corner on the market. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes, I agree, but wasn't it making the government a whole heck of a lot of money, too? Even though he says that the balance sheets don't attract investors right now, so he's trying to make it more attractive. It's just the big changes that are making it harder for us to do loans, what I see so far.
Well, you know what? It's true. We're talking macro level here. We're not talking about a person who's just trying to get a loan for an investment property, you know,
Correct.
In order to generate some income
Correct.
For their retirement years. We're not talking about that person. What we're talking about is overall market 10 years from now, where do we want to be? And I think that's what they've been pushing for. In terms of the requirements, cash requirements, I mean, that number gets played with all the time with the GSEs. Whether it goes up a percentage or two or down a percentage or two really makes the difference to where they either have liquidity or they don't have liquidity. And that's true also with the stress tests with most of the major banks. I mean, it's really something that either the regulators or the people at the Fed, they're playing with these numbers all the time, so you're never quite sure when you hear a headline, what exactly are you listening to? Today's bias, or are you listening to what's best for the market?
Yeah. I wish the reporting was done the way it used to be, with a lot of research and showing both sides, but it's not happening anymore.
No.
Besides the point, our programs, if you wanted to talk to you,
yes, I do.
There, we have a piggyback second, which is an interest-only HELOC that needs to have a $50,000 draw up to $500,000. So in L.A. County, for example, you can do a $1.322 million loan. You have a $500,000 second up to an 89.99% CLTV, means combined loan to value.
Mm-hmm.
You have a first and then your second. You don't have to have as many reserves because jumbos often ask for a lot of reserves. And it is an interest-only payment. If you have a high FICO, I got a more than $175,000 second. I had a rate of 4.99 interest only on your second. It's a good way to have a loan that makes you into that jumbo market without having to do all the hoops and bells and whistles that jumbo sometimes require.
Okay,
that's a very popular one for us.
Now, just walk me through the loan itself. So it's a purchase loan, correct?
It can purchase or refi.
Oh, either one.
If you want to do a cash out loan, but you don't want to have the cash out hit on the big first, you can put it on the second. You can withdraw $50,000 and have $200,000 available for you to draw when you want to.
Okay, so this is a HELOC then, and
Correct.
The HELOC you get charged on the HELOC when you use it. So it's a usage fee, right? I mean,
with
basically
a minimum draw of $50,000. But
so you have to take out $50,000 at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're selling them to people that need to have a bit of a draw on it so that they are more attractive to buy them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah, of course. And nobody's going to want to buy the first and second. If nobody's using the second, then you're just buying liability.
Yes, exactly.
No, I understand that. Okay, that's an interesting loan. Have you had many people excited about it, or does it take a lot of explaining?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And also on the refinances, this combined loan-to-value loan-level adjuster is less than a cash-out adjuster would be. And it's only on the smaller second loan rather than the whole big first loan where you get that additional add to your rate for a cash-out loan.
So the adjuster, what is that, a half a point, a point, point and a half? What are you charging?
Loan-level price adjusters for cash-out, You're going to make me look at my rate sheet.
No, you don't have to do
it. Depends on your FICO and your LTV.
Of course.
It can be as much as 1.125.
Right.
Depending on how high an LTV, CLTV that you have and what your FICO score is. The lower your FICO score, the higher the hit goes. The higher your FICO score, the less the hit. They call it a loan level price adjuster, LLPA.
Okay. Sounds like a great loan. Look, we have about a minute left. Where do you think we are headed for this summer if we don't get more product on the market, purchase-wise? Obviously, refis are going to be down, but purchase market is also going to be difficult because of the lack of product on the market.
We have a whole lot of equity in the houses out there right now.
That's true.
So refis could be down, but also those people that want to set up HELOCs or something else with the rates that are so pretty good because the rates have gone down a little bit again now.
Yep, they have.
But if you have all that equity in your home and you want to put a first and a second or make your LTV lower, refinances are still available out there for people that are spending more time at home and want to make their home better, or they want to have a lower rate because their LTV is lower. So, yeah, they've dried up a little bit because rates are higher, but they're still out there. The purchase market, if you have a home to put on the market, put it on the market because they're having multiple bid wars. I've got to do that myself when I get the time, put a house on the market.
Right.
I think that purchases will be where most of the loans will be, but I don't think that refinances have dried up all the way. There's still a lot of reasons to do a refinance.
Excellent. Wendy, can you shout out your phone number quickly? We're up against the clock here, and I want to
Certainly.
Give people an opportunity.
310-457-4396 or wvanwessel, V-A-N-W-E-S-S-E-L, at kindlending.com.
Okay, that's Wendy Van Wessel from Kind Lending. Wendy, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day.
And you too. And I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in each and every week. This week in particular, we're really happy that you did. We're on a number of different podcasts all throughout the internet. Daryl, you have a list of those podcasts for us?
I sure do, Jeff. It's Apple Podcast, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, the infamous YouTube, and podclips.io.
Podclips.io, that's new to us, so go there. There's a lot of new and exciting things on that particular podcast. Apple's changed the way they're doing their podcasts, and of course, YouTube, you can go there and see what we do. We shoot this show every week. Have been doing it for years. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, that's our channel, and please go there. If you go to any of these places, if you listen to the radio stations, and there's five of them in three different states, we love our Albuquerque and Las Vegas and up in the Tahoe area, as well as in the IE, San Bernardino, Riverside, California. We love all our affiliates and the people who are on the show. If you do listen to any of these things, click on that you like it, or you know, make an effort to join what we're trying to do. More people do that, more people get the information, more people are helped trying to get a mortgage. Today we've brought a number of different lenders onto the show, and Kim Tran from AM West is a great guy, a lot of information, been in the business a long time, going to talk to us a little bit about mortgages. Kim, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you, Jeff, for having me on your show.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. Okay, so we've done a number of deals with you over the years. Really appreciate the hard work you're doing over at AM West. Describe to us a little bit about what your company specializes in and some of the products that they might offer.
Sure, yeah. I mean, when we last spoke, we started out, every lender pretty much are offering, you know, similar things, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the governments, we have that. But we want to offer some niche, which we started offering these, I call it alt-doc. It's very similar to stated.
Yep.
And we started out back in 2016, and it's been growing. We started out with just one program, one pricing, and that was it. And through the years, evolved, and now we have five different easy docs programs.
Great.
Last year, there were some interruptions, you know, as we all know, the pandemic really did a big number on us
yep.
in the market.
Yep.
So a lot of the jumbo loans, you know, portfolio all went away. And all of us are busy, you know, with the refi boom. But now that's calming down, and I've been seeing a lot of these all-doc loans, easy-doc loans stated, and they're coming in now the last few months.
Okay, tell us about a little bit. Let's take, for example, your stated loan. What are the requirements? What are the credit scores? What are the loan-to-value? Give us an idea what that is.
Sure. We actually, in the past, it was really easy. You know, there's only one. Now we've brought so many options. As I just mentioned, we have five different options now. But to start off, the VOE program, which a salary borrower, we qualify solely with a written VOE form from the employer. For self-employed, we qualify off of the profit and loss.
Okay.
We don't need any tax returns, no W-2s, no transcript. The minimum FICO required for that program is 660, but that gets you only up to 65% LTV. You know, but if you have like a 720 FICO score, that gets you up to 85% LTV with no MI. So
yeah, no MI, that's a big thing, right?
Yes, yeah.
And what rates
and
do you...
And also this program, because, you know, recent months, you know, with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're adding the price, you know, it's costing a lot more for investment properties. With us, there's no extra, with these portfolio programs, there's no extra for investment add-ons.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. In terms of the rate, how do you price out the rate? Is it based on FICO score? Is it based on LTV? Or is this just a product because of where it's priced? It pretty much stays consistent over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of mirror off what the current market for these agency loans. I would say usually it's about maybe 1.5% or 2% more than your regular full-doc conventional loans.
That's a good rate.
Yes.
That's an excellent rate. And so with these loans, not selling to the GSEs or not selling to, you know, the agencies, you have private investors to purchase all these loans, or do you hold them yourself?
We actually hold them. And I guess when we get to a certain volume and bulk, principal of the company, they have place to unload it. But all the loans that we fund, we service them.
I see.
And so let me add that. Yeah, earlier you said the pricing. Right now, it's we're offering for the last maybe 2 months now incredible low rates for these stated. It starts at 3.95%.
Yeah, that's a great rate. For stated, I mean, your basic 30-year fixed rate conventional with Fannie and Freddie is only three and a quarter.
I would say with us, we're giving promotions again. Our par rate is pretty much right now 30 years fixed, about 2.65.
Okay, that's great.
With 2.75, that's pretty much you getting into the 0 point now. So still very good, even though it went up.
Yeah, it has gone up. How did that affect you, by the way? And do you think that we're, obviously getting into a purchase market, do you think you're going to see a rise in rates as a result of that too?
Jeff, it's really hard for me to predict.
I know, I agree.
I guess last year was a big surprise for everyone. You know,
yep.
I thought that, oh boy, what's going to happen now? People losing jobs, no one's buying. But in fact, it is actually the other way around.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
The roofing market, it's been super hot. People are bidding, overbidding above listing price. And we knew that this was coming. I mean, for the refi boom, the music's going to stop sometime. Things are going to calm down. So we lost the stated program last year about mid-March. In July, we started to brought them back.
Right.
But everyone was still so busy with the full-doc market. And I would say started maybe November, December, when they start that refinance, extra add-on charge, all that. We're starting to see a lot of these stated loans started. Yeah.
Well, I like the stated loan. In terms of how people used to look at stated loans back in 08 when we had the mortgage crash, right? Oh, my gosh, nobody wants that. It's a different type of product today than was then, right?
Oh, yes. It's much more safer. I mean, in the past, I'm sure that the NAGAM got us into a lot of trouble.
Right, of course.
And, the SATA, those are the difficult ones. I mean, we try to make our programs easy. And, thank you for your company, your hello.
It's sure.
been very supportive, funding loans very successfully. I hope you can go out there and have more clients.
I agree with you 100%. Let's talk a little bit about the lack of product in the market and how that affects... when a borrower comes to AM West and asks for a pre-approval letter. How do you write one up for that particular borrower in order to ensure that they have the best chance to get the loan, best chance to get the property?
Well, yes, you know, for us, since we're a wholesale lender and we're correspondents, we really don't issue any pre-approvals.
I see.
But, you know, as you know, your team, your fellow LOs, you know, your fellow brokers, they can help your clients that way, you know, to issue pre-approvals. And let me just add that in. I forgot. We only mentioned one program. There's actually three or four more.
Okay, do it. You got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, we have the bank statements program. I think it's out there. It's been out there. It came back. But what I like is our two other unique programs that I don't think it's out there. It's designed for someone, let's just say you have a client who is a more sophisticated borrower. They have maybe 6-7 properties, 4 car loans, and then to the point where you state your income. A little bit on the exaggeration side. If that's the case, and if you're doing investments or structured as investment, we have a loan that's no employment needed, no income, no ratio, using only a rental to cover your subject PITI. We have another one just rolled out maybe 2 months back. It's more like the old days, NEVA. I think that was
No income verified NEVA. Assets, right.
Yeah, no income. No employment, no ratio, we don't even care if the property is rented. Of course, that comes, you know, for us to mitigate the risk, we actually require, you know, a little bit more down payment or a lower LTV, like max at 65%. So these are actually more of a substitute for like the hard money, private money.
Yep.
Because the rate's only 4.25.
Oh, well, that's
hard
great.
Money, you're looking at maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 or up with 3-point cars. Us is only 4.25 par.
That's it.
So a lot of options.
A lot of options. Hey, Kim, thanks for coming on the show. Listen, we're up against the clock here. Could you shout out a phone number for somebody that wants to get in touch with you, ask some more questions?
Sure, yes. Yeah, I could be reached at my cell phone is 626-378-6999. Also, another best way to reach me is by email, and that's kim.tran@amwestfunding.com.
Kim, thanks very much for coming on. That's great information. I really appreciate you doing this again.
Thank you, Jeff. You have a good day.
And you have a good day, too. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, listening to the show each and every week. We have a number of great guests today. I really appreciate them all coming on, talking about programs, what's available out there. We started off the show talking about quality and the different ways loans are gotten and approved for different types of people. And I always get good feedback on that. And sometimes it's funny. I get negative feedback, as there always is in cases whereby you know, you're advocating for more people to get loans. Back in 08, there was a huge congressional push by people on the Democratic side to open up lending to more and more people, i.e. forcing banks to loan based on a certain criteria versus what the banks were doing. And there are many, and still today, many people who blame the crisis on those appeals to open up lending to more and more people. The credit standards, the properties themselves, the ability to repay, all of these things were really tightened up since the pandemic. Well, we are now many years away from that and going through a different pandemic here, not the mortgage crisis that was in 08, but the pandemic, the health crisis today. But lending standards are still the same. But we've seen a little bit of loosening and programs themselves opening up somewhat. And I really appreciate the three guests we had on today talking about that, because at the heart of this, it's about being able to borrow money. Now, as I've always said, and I'm going to say again, you got a job, you should be able to get a loan to buy a house. Now, maybe the house is only $50,000. Now, you laugh, right? But in some parts of the country, you can still buy. I mean, you go up, I don't know, what are the big bear houses in Southern California going for? Are they still like those cabins like 50, 60, 100,000, something like that?
Yeah, maybe 100 and a quarter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you can get still fairly cheap houses, depends on where you go. In big cities, obviously not, but yes, you can. So we try to, you know, focus on that and bring your attention to the fact that that's the focus, is to try to get you into a house, and I don't really care who you are, as long as we can work with your credit score, as long as we can work with the income, and we can prove that that is pretty likely to sustain. Let's talk about a few things going on in the news. 3.2% is the 30-year fixed. That has gone up, although we were almost at 3.5% a couple weeks ago, so we've seen an improvement in that. 2.64 for the 15-year, 2.68 for FHA, 3.33 for the jumbo. That jumbo number has really remained steadfast for months. 2.64 for the 5-1 ARM, and the Treasury yields at 1.566. Those are the yields. Now, we saw the yields go down, but the rates go up today. Usually they work in conjunction or consort with each other. They go up together, they come down together. But this week, and we're talking about hundreds of a basis point, right? Not just a tenth of a basis point or even a basis point itself. So the movement on mortgage rates is really, it's remained within a quarter point. And we've always tested that upper limit, right, of yields at 1.6, 1.63, and the lower limit at 0.53. We're still within that range, have been for a year. It's amazing. We're in this COVID for a year, this pandemic and the way it's affected how people are. A lot of things interesting in the news about the markets, right? Let's see. The markets are down last few trading sessions, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing to you if you have money in the market, but it's usually, as I've said and I'll say now, the stock market is a forward indicator, right? And when we look at some of the other economic data that comes in, it's a backward indicator, meaning we look at what happened, then we get a feel for what's going to go forward. In the stock market, that's a future-looking item. So if the stock market's up, people think usually that the future's going to be up. Now, the one thing that rocks the markets more than anything else, now, we talked a little bit earlier in the show about the Chauvin, the George Floyd case. Had the verdict gone the other way, we would have seen riots and would have continued to see riots across America. I'm no advocate of any of that. I just remember that, you know, we have seen that for every time there's a verdict that has gone, you know, against what a lot of in the public and certainly in the public sentiment think. Had that happened, you would have seen the markets really down and you would have seen mortgage rates skyrocket. So world events, weather events, events that really are without or outside the control of you or me or, you know, the lenders. Lenders don't like change and they don't like market volatility. And any world event like we would have seen had the events gone the other way, that's going to affect rates, right? What's the one world event right now? A lot of troops on the border in Ukraine and the Russia. And that is the first real rock to the boat of what's been going on, which is a pretty smooth ride so far for the new administration that's come in. That's what's unpredictable right now. If we see an invasion, if we see more posturing, i.e. more troops on the border, if we see anything like that, you're going to see world markets rocked. And, you know, it's bad. Now, I don't know whether this is a distraction from COVID. In a lot of these countries, we're seeing uptick in what's happening with the virus. In the U.S., we have half the people in the U.S. vaccinated at least one shot. Half. That's a big number. That's 175 million people. That's a big number. And we're going to obviously see that go up. But worldwide, very, very few people are vaccinated like that, not percentage-wise. Israel, England, maybe a couple other countries in Western Europe. But certainly nothing in the Soviet Union because their vaccine fell flat. China's vaccine, nobody seems to want to take it. In India, we've seen just, you know, capitulation there. I mean, we're seeing hundreds of thousands of people almost every week come down with the virus. It's a terrible thing. And all of these affect global markets, which in turn affect rates here in the country. Although, what happens in the U.S. is when the world tanks, for whatever reason, weather, virus, troops in the border, you see the money leave those areas and come to the U.S. in Treasury bonds, which is why you have the yields which shrank. We talked a little bit about why yields and rates usually go hand in hand. Sometimes they don't, because this type of event happens. And I think what's happening and will continue to happening if we get this kind of weekly update is we will see the yields on the Treasuries lower, but we might see rates continue to grow. Okay, housing starts. Let's talk the good things that are going on. The U.S. rebound, the pace of layoffs is down, spending is up, manufacturing is up. Stimulus, $1.9 trillion. People getting their checks and continue to get checks. Help for state and local governments, which can only help those who really need. And we need to see more of that continue, because that's just how we get out of these things. The potential infrastructure bill. I think we're going to get an infrastructure bill, and I don't know what extent. But a lot of that has to do with what is infrastructure? That's the definition they're going to have to come up with. One element I like is, okay, if you're graduating high school, you get out of college, you got to have something that can contribute to the economy and get yourself a job. Now, I don't know what that means to the infrastructure bill, but revamping education to make that happen is part of it, especially for people who are traditionally going into blue-collar jobs. Now, blue-collar is going to be redefined as well. There may not be as many manufacturing jobs per se, but the type of manufacturing jobs, whether it's robotics, whether it's programmed-oriented, those are the skills that are going to have to be taught, and that's the type of infrastructure that has to get rebuilt in order to be able to provide jobs for people so that they can go out and get a mortgage, and that's what I do. I get them a mortgage. But this infrastructure rebuild is partly education, but it's also obviously bridges and roads and tunnels and buildings and, yeah, all that. But it's large in scope, and I think it's something that's needed and will pay dividends for generations. Let's see. Growth is projected this year now at 6.8% in the U.S. $2 trillion savings adds to the $1.9 trillion in government stimulus coming out, so that's a lot of money. They're worried about inflation, but like the polar ice caps melting, what they didn't understand is that the continents themselves soaked up the excess water. And what do I mean by that? Is that the excess money in the system will also get soaked up. And it was proven back in 08 when the inflation was really nothing. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for tuning in each and every week. If and when you go to the sites we're on, check to say that you like it and join up. I'll see you next time. For The Mortgage Voice, I'm Jeff Barton.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.